Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Sandy Wheaton is in the studio. Sandy, before we went to break, we were talking about the impact of what could happen if the dollar, which is the currency, right, in the world, global currency right now, if the folk who around the globe own that currency and all of a sudden decide that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get off the, you know.
And one of the more direct ways that that happens is the central banks that have these reserves, and they hold the reserves in a variety of investments. They hold it in foreign currencies. They hold it in gold. And the foreign currency they hold most substantially all around the world is the dollar. And what we've done to Russia in the most recent wave of sanctions is we've basically frozen their foreign, the reserves of the central bank of Russia that are dollars or that are any kind of investment that over which the West holds control for its liquidation. And so that's a huge... That's a huge decision in terms of creating uncertainty for people who are central banks as to how they're going to invest their money if they fear that they might sometime earn the wrath of Washington in terms of and the European countries. So, and one of those is China. China is the biggest player other than the United States in with respect to and a very big player with respect to its central bank and its reserves. And you know, the other thing that we're doing by isolating Russia is by, you know, the globalization creates this kind of lubricant for world trade, and that lubrication for world trade has caused the world GDP to grow at a much more rapid pace than it would otherwise. And the United States shares in the world growth of GDP. So when the world GDP grows faster, the American GDP grows faster. When the world GDP grows slower, the American GDP will grow slower. And by isolating countries, for instance, the Trump effort was to isolate China more substantially. China's probably the most lubricated of all the countries in terms of their world trade. They have extensive commerce, and almost everything they make is traded and sold abroad. You know, they're trying to foster more internal consumption of their products, but right now they basically sell a huge percentage of what they make abroad. So if you start isolating big players in this international economy, the rate of growth of the GDP of the world will shrink, and the rate of growth of the United States will shrink. And if you start threatening the sanctity of the dollar in various ways, people will begin to think of other ways to trade currencies, to hold currencies, and to denominate their future transactions. You know, right now I'm confident that a great deal of Russian oil is probably sold denominated as dollars because anyone who wants to buy and sell things in the world tries to denominate them as dollars. That might stop in the circumstance of this dollar cutoff for Russia. Russia is a significant percentage of the world oil and gas. Right there, you've got a significant change in the denomination of the transactions. Maybe Russia will say, "No, we'll do it in the yuan. We'll do it in the Chinese currency." And other people might say, "Okay, well, that's sufficiently stable. We'll go over and do that." So, you know, we're playing a game here that is not without danger and is not without without danger to ourselves. And we ought to be cognizant of that as we sort of play in world politics the way the American public seems to be willing to allow our government to play in world politics.
So that's because the American people, the majority of the American people, don't see this as impacting us at all. You know, you can watch it and what's happening, and right now the only thing that we really see that's changing is the fact that gasoline is going up, and that's the only thing that we see.
Well,
but what you are saying is down the road and soon we're all going to be impacted with this to the degree that, you know, one day we're going to wake up and because. You don't think this war that's going on it depends on how long Ukraine can hold out.
Well, but The war, I mean, I'm talking about the sanctioned side of the war, because what I visualize happening here, which is, you know, I don't have all kinds of screens.
You're not Nostradamus,
I don't. Yeah, I'm not attached to the national intelligence apparatus or anything, but my sense is that what's clearly inevitable here is that Russia will prevail ultimately in succeeding to accomplish its objectives. My perception of its objectives is that they want to topple the current government, or at least put it in handcuffs. They have, by the process of this invasion, they have stirred up a great deal of nationalist fervor in Ukraine. And so the Ukrainians are not going to be willing participants in being a vassal state, something that is basically obedient to the Russian interests, even though Russia clearly has what I was talking about in the last show, this hegemony, this kind of geopolitical almost right to be the dominant influence in a particular geographic area. Part of that area is clearly Ukraine. So they're going to prevail. They're going to have to occupy, in some sense, they're going to have to occupy Ukraine to assure that the government of Ukraine toes the line, okay? And even if we get to a neutral Ukraine, there's going to be an insistence that there be an occupation of Ukraine to protect its neutrality. And one of the occupiers there will clearly be Russia. Now, unless Russia is willing to go to an international occupying force for Ukraine that essentially defangs the notion that Russia has overrun and is now controlling and has essentially annexed Ukraine, if the world continues to view this thing that way, then the end result will be the sanctions will continue. And the sanctions will continue for a long time. And it's those sanctions that are going to have a significant impact.
Let's do this. Who do we have on the phones?
Dave from Mequon's giving a call for you guys.
Dave, what's going on, man?
Good morning. Like to jump in the conversation. Thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, you know, Luke mentioned, I think it was last week or maybe earlier in the week, you know, one of the things that Ukraine has is tremendous amount of food, wheat supply, and it actually compromises almost 40% of what Europe produces as far as wheat. 16% of the world's wheat production is in Ukraine. So and by taking that over, you're going to see definitely much higher commodity prices in wheat, corn, other things, staples that people use around the world. And my fear is this, is that as this continues with the onslaught in Ukraine, people are going to be starving because the soldiers are raping women left and right. And they are, you know, Putin's intention is, you know, to finish the job. That's what his goal is. And he never did recognize Ukraine as an independent democracy. So, and then bigger point to what you said earlier a little bit, it was in the fact that, Sandy, that you were talking about China. China is the one that's the bigger issue, because China is the one that gave Putin the green light to invade Ukraine. And the reason why I say that is because there's been intelligent reports stating as such. And if you notice, you know, and I brought it up on the, you know, Matt Flynn show in regards with the new nuclear deal that's being negotiated right now in Vienna between Russia, Iran, China, and they're actually negotiating on our behalf to basically, where the United States lets Iran get in the picture.
So, Dave, before you get so far mm-hmm. down the road, let's let Sandy mm-hmm. respond to you saying that China gave the green light to Russia to invade.
Well, yeah, as soon as someone says that they, according to intelligence reports, we all have to. We all don't know. And I'd be surprised if that was the case, actually. I don't think China was necessarily interested in that. And China has actually been pretty equivocal ever since the invasion about it. China has a relationship with Ukraine as well. So, and I don't think China is interested in the isolation of economies, because what's important to China, globalization has been very, very good to China. China does not want globalization to go away. China's feverishly trying to develop programs inside China to get more domestic consumption of Chinese-produced goods so that they aren't as dependent upon exports and the potential of conflicts and things interrupting their exports. But one thing China wants is globalization, and they don't want to see a deglobalization, and I think they're probably very worried about that particular outcome.
You know, Sandy, you know, you can tie all those other things into it, you know, that you want. But I don't think Russia wants to be in a position where they're in Ukraine and have to spend money that they don't have to try to maintain what's happening in Ukraine when their country itself is going to be paralyzed by sanctions and all those things.
Yeah, I think that they persuaded themselves, and Putin did, that they were facing an existential problem, as far as Russia was concerned. And I think
we got to get out. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Negative images is the main crisis.